Yeah, so the message is for the young. Ecclesiastes uses the words, this is chapter 11, young man and youth. So it's not just for what we call teenagers, but it says young man and includes perhaps those already up to 40 years old, perhaps, as one commentator suggests. Okay? So when you hear the word young in this passage, or youth, includes children and youth, but probably all the way up to most of you. Okay? I'm kind of beyond that, so I'm not sure where I fit. But it's the Word of God. It's for me too. So I want you to imagine the teacher of Ecclesiastes as your grandfather, as your grandpa. Okay? He's lived a long life. He makes his way slowly into his easy chair, and he gathers all the young, little ones, medium-sized ones, all the way up to 40 years old or whatever. And he has a word for them. Now, children and youth, young adults, tend to live in the moment, don't they? Right? They think of the moment. In many ways, as you will learn, this is a wonderful thing. I love watching young people live in the moment, right? Just spontaneous and go out and jump in the lake or nothing they planned to do 5 minutes before, but suddenly they're doing something. I like that. But this aging grandfather wants to broaden your perspective just a little bit. And so this elderly teacher or the preacher gives to you basically a reality map. This is a reality map for the young. So he opens it up and he asks you to spread it over the floor. And so he begins to speak about his reality map. So this is Ecclesiastes chapter 11, 7 to 10. The first part of the map anyway. We'll go to the next part in a bit. So it goes like this. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. Verse 9. You who are young, be happy while you are young. And let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body. For youth and vigor are meaningless. Now, I'm not sure if it really showed up here, but I bolded some of it. Does it show up? Yeah. I bolded some of it. So there's the bold section, and then there's the normal section, and then bold again, and then goes normal again. So there's kind of a rhythm here, okay? So I'm beginning with the bold. The teacher, grandfather of Ecclesiastes, begins with this instruction to the young by saying this: enjoy your life while you are young. That's a sense, the summary. Enjoy your life while you are young. The light and the sun in verse 7 basically represent life, right? As the sun rises in the morning, it represents life. However many years we live, Grandpa Ecclesiastes says, enjoy all of them. He says. And this theme is repeated in different ways in verse 9, okay? Where it says, you who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. So young, youth, you're the target audience. You know, young people, that's most of us, we are urged to pursue joy in our life. pursue joy. We instructed to enjoy our life, particularly when you are young. So what Grandpa Ecclesiastes is not encouraging is selfish pleasures. Some people read Ecclesiastes chapter 11 rather badly, and they think they're talking about, you know, a hedonistic lifestyle. It's not encouraging selfish pleasures, but far from it. He's talking about pursuing a joy that is good for you, that is good for your heart and your well-being. So you are to follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, he says. What you see is God's creation, what God made for you, right before your very eyes. And it's a beautiful creation we are to enjoy. For whatever reason, you know, many religious folks, I must say that, many religious folks aren't big into joy. Okay? They say they want to do the right thing, obey God's word, and good for them. But they are so tightly wound up by these quote-unquote rules that they can never crack a smile and enjoy the life that God's given to them. They want to raise kids, and rightly so, who are responsible, who work hard and follow the rules, but they have not been allowed to actually enjoy life as a child or youth or young adult. Many children grew up in homes where joy is suppressed by a religious legalism. So you hear a lot of, don't do this, don't do that. They can never crack a smile. Parents, I think we have a large part to play in helping our youth enjoy life. How so? Well, you're the leaders, right? So, take them camping. Especially if we're locked up in an urban center, you know, most of the year. Get out of there. Go see God's creation. Let them play. You know, when we become adults and get older, we actually forget how to play. You know that? We forget how to play. We're not spontaneous anymore. And so I guess we have to be a little more intentional, and that's a pity when we stop to play. You know John Calvin. John Calvin is, you know, the world-famous Reformed theologian from the 16th century, okay? And he even said, you think these old dead guys, you know, are boring, but he said he often spoke about two words, praying and playing. And basically he says, take both seriously, right? So play hard, play with joy, but pray seriously as well. He wanted Christians to take both seriously. And so does the grandfather in Ecclesiastes. Pursue God's joy in the gift of God, the gift of life that God has given to you. Now, grandfather Ecclesiastes not only instructs us to enjoy your young life, but he actually tells you why. And that's kind of the bulk of the sermon. He gives you reasons why, okay? Why we should enjoy the days of our youth? Well, first of all, A, enjoy your youth because it's brief and fleeting. Verse 8, B says, but let's remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. So, you know, I mentioned the light, right? The light represents life. And then he says, enjoy that season of the light. But he says it will soon turn to darkness. So the symbolism is clear. So just as the sun will rise, it will also set and it's going to get dark. You're only going to be young once. Enjoy your life, Grandfather Ecclesiastes says, because in no time at all The days of youth will be gone forever, eventually leading to your death. I mean, I know it sounds really depressing, but that's basically what he's saying, okay? You know, our children are all adults now. That's moi. Scary. Very scary. Remember when we first came here, it wasn't that way. Justin was this little guy. Ashley and Allison are now married. Shocking but true. Okay? Only 6 weeks married, but, you know, they're all married. Justin's in his second year of university. My kids, you know, and I often talk about how quickly time flies by, and they acknowledge that it's so true, right? Especially in university, it's like life just flies by. It's going so fast. I mean, wasn't it a few years ago where I was changing Justin's diapers? I can say these things because he's gone now. I was just changing his diapers and the kids' diapers. Wasn't just yesterday where we strolled through Calgary Zoo with them on our shoulders, watching the animals? It just seemed like yesterday, right? Or when you dropped them off at school in grade one or kindergarten. I'm sure there's a few of you who are going to go through that this week, right? It just seems like yesterday. And poof, gone, they're married, already starting their careers. Grandpa Ecclesiastes doesn't want the young simply to let life pass by passively, right? Young people, don't let life pass by passively. Not just young people, young adults, young marrieds with families. Don't let life just slip by passively. Embrace the gift of life that God has given to you and enjoy it with all your heart. I mean, that's quite the command. Enjoy your life while you are young. So enjoy your studies, students, those who are in school. Enjoy your friends. Don't take your parents for granted. I know that's challenging, but hey, don't take it for granted. They are gifts of God. Don't watch your life. Do life. Live life. Enjoy life as God wanted you to enjoy it. We are a generation of young people who tend to watch life. Okay? Because we're dictated by the media so much. Don't watch life. Live life. Now, some Bible commentators think that the days of darkness referring to is not only talking about death, but it says in verse 8 that they will be many, that is the days of darkness, that it may also refer to a life that is full of anxiety and frustration and maybe sickness and everything that comes with living under a fallen world. And that has great possibilities too. So not just about death, the end, but as you get to the end, there'll be challenges. Verse 10 appears to add to this truth. It says, so then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. So Grandfather Ecclesiastes is basically saying, look, young people, choose God's joy in your life with your whole being, with your body and your heart. Don't let life be defined by the shallow worldly values that put way too much stock in your image or your body type or being popular. Right? Sooner or later, the shallow and fleeting values of a youth culture will just be gone. It's just fleeting, right? So don't chase after these fleeting values that just simply go up in smoke. The fountain of youth is fleeting. We live in a culture where being young is essentially worshipped. right? Where moms and dads are trying to stay 21 forever. Billion-dollar industries exist simply to help people live at 21 forever, right? But we all know that's just a temporary fix. And we move on. We get older. Banish this kind of peer pressure from your heart and cast off these warped anxieties of who you should be or how your body should look like. Instead, enjoy how God has made you in His image. Enjoy His good world that He has placed you in. Now we're given a second reason why we should enjoy the days of our youth. Because you're accountable to God. Verse 9, it says, to follow the ways of your heart and what of your eyes see, but know that all these things God will bring you into judgment. Now, I know when we hear the word judgment, it kind of sounds a little scary, okay? But what does this mean? As I mentioned before, the enjoyment of life is not just selfish enjoyment. It's not selfish enjoyment. The author is not talking about that type of joy. It is enjoyment of life that brings glory to God, and consequently, it is good for you. Joy that is good for you. The joys of our life are to be enjoyed and pursued within God's good moral boundaries. Okay? God will hold us accountable to the answer of these questions. Okay? Have you enjoyed the life that God has given to you? Or have you simply held back? Young people, all people, are you pursuing God's joys in your life? You know, very often in the life of the young, selfishness and pride will raise its ugly head, right? That's the great temptations of youth. You know, I love watching young people, as I mentioned. I mean, they're energetic. I mean, you have more energy than you know what to do with, okay? So there's a reason why your parents want to kick you out the front door, right? Because you have energy. Energy to boot. No wonder God asked you to enjoy your life, because He knows you can. You have more energy now when you are young than any other point in your life. So, you're fast, you're intelligent, you're athletic, you're smart, you're creative. Caution is thrown to the wind. But those wonderful attributes can get inverted to the point where you take credit for it all. Thus comes the pride, right? And your life ends up being about you. That's our culture, okay? I also know something else about young people, because I was one once. You want approval. Well, guess what? Adults do too. You want approval. You want to be accepted and appreciated, and this is not only true for teenagers, as I said, but for young adults, for young marrieds, older people. But when your life is motivated by the approval of peers and others instead of the joys of God, you can easily compromise your own Christian values. And that's the temptation. The young face the temptation of money, sex, image, and power. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Again, Paul's addressing the young. God will hold you accountable for everything we think, do, or say. The judgment refers to the end of time when God judges the secret of all of mankind. But remember, God is not just holding you accountable for the things you do wrong, but for the things you've enjoyed. For the things you've enjoyed. God would not have made creation if he did not want us to enjoy it. Right? I believe that. We come to the third reason why we should enjoy the days of our youth. Remember your Creator while you are young, because one day you're going to get old. So Ecclesiastes 12:1 begins this way. This is actually a famous verse. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. You know, there was a time in my life when I was young, I used to love to run. I used to write in my yearbook, life is running. Running is life. I was possessed by it, you know. Hard to imagine because I hardly do it anymore. I mean, I used to run, you know, on different courses. I used to run around the lake when everyone would swim in the lake. I'd run around the lake because I loved running so much. I would run again and again because why? Because I wanted to beat my old time and I wanted to beat my friends and I wanted to beat the competition, right? That was just the way we were. I remember I used to hike up mountains with heavy backpacks, stay overnight in a tent and walk on down, work Monday morning as if nothing happened. Energy, energy to boot. It's crazy, right? When I think about that now, I kind of sigh and moan and say to myself, it sure was nice to be young and strong, right? But the true point of what Grandpa Ecclesiastes is saying is this. He takes us, not only reminds us to enjoy your youth, but he wants you to remember your Creator, God. Remember who made you, the God of heaven and earth, while you are young. Don't put off this all-important relationship and walk with God until later in your life, okay? Young people, don't think that a faith is an old person's thing, okay? Faith is a young person's thing, is what he's saying. Do it now. It's not an older adult activity. Begin now and begin while you're young. Well, why? Well, we're given a reason. When we get older, because of our aging bodies and minds, we will never be able to enjoy life on earth as we once did in our healthy young bodies, essentially what he's saying. All right? If we are not anchored in a living walk with Jesus Christ as your Creator, when you're young, when you get older, you will experience a harshness of life that comes at you in all different shapes and sizes. And one of them is your body breaks down. Okay? So there's a temptation to moan and groan and complain about life. And when you don't have a strong faith when you get older, the possibilities of maturing and growing and flourishing that faith go downhill when it's not very strong. So he says, begin now when you're young. And when you begin when you're young, then you'll be able to fight off those temptations of older age. Your bodies break down, you can work no longer, and you'll be tempted to become embittered and grumpy and faithless. That's the temptations of the elderly. Older people are not free from life temptations. It just changes the kind of temptations they face. And they're tempted to take their eyes off of Jesus and become complainers, grumpy seniors for the rest of their life. And that's a pretty sad existence. You know, the media makes retirement sound like paradise, right? There's, you know, always the sunset scene and a boat and a couple glass of wine and, you know, not an ache in the world. Come on. I mean, there's some of that, okay? You know. But there's some trials. So I'm not saying seniors can't enjoy life, but they can. But just hear out Grandpa Ecclesiastes. Now, I want to end, I want to take you through the last section here. And I got to say, this is, for me, the funniest section of the Bible, okay? It's like a comedy routine. Are you ready for this? It's great. I love it. Well, that's not in the Bible, but that kind of goes with the whole scene. So here we go. So he's saying, you know, remember you're created now because you're going to get old. And so he describes that kind of life. First of all, your legs will shake. He says the keepers of the house or the guards begin to tremble. So he's referring to the elderly whose legs begin to shake. Your shoulders stoop and the strong men stoop. Well, old people begin to hunch over. That's what he's referring to. You lose your teeth when the grinders cease because they are few. In other words, you know, like I grind my teeth at night supposedly. But one day, according to the Grandpa Ecclesiastes, I won't even have teeth to grind. They'll all disappear and the grinding will stop. What a wonderful day, but I'll have no teeth until I visit my dentist and fix all that. Okay? Your eyes go bad. Did I skip something? No, that's okay. Your eyes go bad. Those looking through the windows grow dim. I'm already looking through the bottom of my glasses as I speak. Yeah. Some people nodding their heads in agreement. You can't work anymore. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of the grinding fades, it's describing life in the market, the work opportunities close and the sound of the work fades because you're aging, you can't work as you once did. Well, you lose your hearing when people rise up at the sound of birds, but their songs grow faint as you get older. You can't sleep, so you get up early with the birds. But you're so deaf now, you can't even enjoy the birds because you can't hear them. I mean, really, this is pretty graphic stuff. Kind of sad, kind of funny all at the same time, isn't it? Right? Yeah, my dad's going through that right now. It's tough. You develop fears, right? Are afraid of heights and the dangers in the streets. You don't have the courage you once did to walk the tightrope. Or to go down some urban street where there's all kinds of activities, elderly people become afraid of that. It's so new to them. Well, your hair turns white when the almond tree blossoms, referring to its whiteness. If you even have any hair, it all turns white. Not sure what's going on up there, but so far so good. But it's going to turn white. The desires of your body weaken. So it says, and the grasshopper, maybe this is the funniest scene of all, the grasshopper drags itself along. Can you picture that? Drags itself along, and desire no longer is stirred. When we get, so that should be old, sorry. We won't be hopping around like we used to be. And it probably refers to sexual desire is no longer, boy, my spelling's really bad here. No longer stirred, okay? Never mind the spelling there. Okay? So Grandpa Ecclesia, he takes you through almost every body part here. It's just, it's quite something, you know? Telling the young people. And he's the living specimen, right? The older man before him, them. I don't have this on a slide, but verse 6 and 7 says this. Remember him before the silver cord is severed, the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So that's the end, right? Different pictures of death. So Grandpa Ecclesiastes is near the end of his life as he writes this and he pens it down. But his wisdom for us is timeless. It doesn't really matter what generation or what era this may be shared. It's timeless because we all get older. Maybe a word that we would use to describe what the Grandpa Ecclesiastes is saying is carpe diem, which means seize the day, young people. While you're still young, seize the day and remember your God and your Creator. This is no time to sit around and be idle, but to take what God has given to you. Because you have talents, you have energy, you have family, you have an occupation, you have wealth. Young adults, young marrieds, I mean, you're living at the time of your life where you're pretty strong, pretty smart, pretty able. You'll earn more money at this time in your life than any other time. And God says, enjoy it. Utilize it. Make a difference in the world with it. All these gifts are to be enjoyed, using it to bring glory to God. Remember your Creator. And one day God will ask you, have you enjoyed all that I have given to you? Have you used those gifts to bring me glory and to make my name known? It kind of reminds me of the parable of the talents. I remember that one guy who got the one talent, and what did he do with that talent? He buried it. The other guys invested it. And I think it's kind of the same message here. Are you simply just going to bury what God has given to you and live in fear? No. But most importantly, we have to understand who the Creator is. The Creator, as revealed to us in the Gospels and the rest of the New Testament, is Jesus Himself. Did you know that? God is our Creator. He is found to be not only a man without sin, but Creator God. That's the amazing gospel story. He was God in human flesh, just like us, without sin. Jesus is our Creator, and we are asked to remember Him. Remember Jesus. This means letting Jesus be at the core of our life and enjoying Him forever. Enjoying Him and being a follower of Jesus and following His every move. That's enjoying life, actually. Grandpa Ecclesiastes warns us against spiritual procrastination. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. You know, I have witnessed far too many young people, young adults, young marrieds, who've thrown their life away for the love of money, drugs, selfish pleasures, sexual immorality, arrogance. Far too many stories. And it bites. Because many are my friends. This is a message for all of us, not just for them, for all of us. When we live that way, in selfish pleasures, our bodies, our emotions, our intellect breaks down earlier than most because the days of their youth are squandered and wasted. Don't let that be your life. Don't let that be your life. Anchor your life in Jesus right now. You know, I believe children and youth can have a serious walk with Jesus. Right? You can have a serious walk with Jesus. Enjoy your life in Jesus as a gift of God that you are asked to steward or be responsible for. Let's pray. Lord, what a wonderful text. I'm amazed at the wisdom here. Lord, I pray for our young people. I pray that you would give them the courage to enjoy their life and honor you all at the same time. We realize that this passage is not simply for teenagers, but really for all of us. That our life would be about remembering and remembering you, our Creator. Remembering Jesus in every segment of our life. That we would give you honor and glory. That we would take advantage of the time in our life when we're so able and so gifted by you, that we would use those gifts for your glory. And I pray, Lord, as we get older, into our 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, that we would be the kind of people who are models to the young. That we would not be grumpy people, but that we would be people who are filled with your joy because of Jesus, in spite of our failing bodies, in spite of the mounting disappointments that we face in our life. That's simply reality. And so we ask, Lord, for your wisdom and for your strength and for your guidance. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray.
Please stand and join us for our closing song.